Hello, everybody, and welcome to Throwlers. I'm joined, as always, with Chris Reynolds. How you doing, Chris?
Sublime, Alan. Back in the country, back in the studio, back in the hoodie, Ugg boots, beanie, hot cups of coffee, ready to go.
Excellent, excellent. I didn't have the greatest day. Had a day at work and then had to rush home, feed the dogs, and then head over to Fitzroy to pick up our Street League team gear. I'm very, very glad I've got the team gear now, but I hate driving in traffic.
Like, yes.
I really, really hate it. I know everyone hates it. And people are like, oh, yeah, we all hate. Nah, I fucking hate it. Like, I couldn't do that every day. It would not end well. And, yeah, the drive from St. Kilda to Fitzroy and back at, like, 4 p.m. is, oh, it was so bad. So, everyone better enjoy him. Yeah, I don't know, it pissed me off, so. But we'll be decked out, looking good, ready for a big win over the Bald Hill Babies, or whatever their team name is.
Beautiful. Look forward to seeing how sharp all you guys look. And, if I had known though, there was a late change to Ruffy on the cards, you might have found my name on the team sheet.
You can have my spot. I'm fine with that.
No, you're good. You're good. I'm talking shit. I can't play.
Oh, nice. A bunch of stuff happened this last week that we need to catch up on. Did you see the Dan Frost roasting of Parked Media?
Nah.
The hatchet job?
Nah.
Oh, it's very good.
Nah, missed it. Where would have I seen it?
On their Instagram. So you might have seen it and just not realized. But on their Parked Media's Instagram, on their story. So they do predictions, or they did, at least they've been doing predictions lately. And after Austin D'Alessandro is just
that sounds
pounding.
Familiar.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? After Austin's pounding at the Queensland Open, I guess they were all on board with Austin taking down whatever little tournament they had. I think it was the Drizzler, because they got the Sizzler in the summer and they got the Drizzler in the winter.
Yep.
And Dan Frost, I think, quite handily took that down. So he chopped up all their audio of clearly it'll be Austin, da-da-da-da, and just shoved it right back in their face. So I thought it was very well done. Well done by Dan.
Well done, Dan Frost. Good stuff. I did see a little bit of that, actually, and I did see them. They shared all their predictions for the Big Wet, and they were mostly off the mark outside of DSS absolutely rinsing me, which definitely happened.
It was a big, that was a good get.
Yeah.
It was very comfortable. And the other thing that came across our desk, we got messages out in the Melbourne chats for Doug Adams' course preview of the upcoming Melbourne Celebrates course in Bundura, and there's like 10 videos of Doug doing course previews at a bunch of courses all around Melbourne.
Yeah.
Do you have any idea that was a thing?
I was across this, but I won't lie, the Bundura one was the first one I've watched, and I've watched every minute of it from start to finish. But no, since retirement, from the Bureau, this is how Doug spends his time. He is a content creator, one of a kind.
I love it. I can't wait to look check him out. I haven't yet because it's hard finding time and any little bit of free time for disc golf. I've managed to sneak in over like 10 different sessions watching the Sizzler footage. So, but I definitely will check it out. And I should have known there was something going on, because a while ago Doug sent me like a screenshot for something that he was working on, and it had to do with the Werribee BMX track. I can't remember what the caption was, but it was something pretty funny, and he's like, do you have any issues with this? I was like, no, go, like, do what you gotta do, my friend. And I never followed up to see what that was a part of. So potentially there's a Werribee course preview, and he's got a dig at me at it. Not sure, I'll have to find that out, but yeah, it's pretty cool. It's just Doug Adams on YouTube. I'm pretty sure. So search that out and have a look.
Yep, he's got a shovel. I'm not sure what the reference to the shovel is, but there it is.
Mate, you don't know, you don't understand why Doug and shovel come together.
No, I do. I was just putting it out there as bait, yeah.
I was like, get your shit together, mate.
I'm jet lagged, but I'm not that jet lagged.
Fair enough. All right, don't be too jet lagged to miss signing up for the Eruption on Friday night, 8 p.m. our time, not weird Adelaide time. The chats have been going crazy the last sort of couple of months of people asking when's they going to open up the Eruption stuff. And people keep asking me. I'm like, I don't know. But now we do know, and it's this Friday, and it's going to sell out fast. It's selling out faster and faster every year. So get on it quick, 8 p.m. I'm sure they will plaster it all over the Facebook stuff. Otherwise, yeah, just I'm pretty sure they put something out now so you can see where the link goes to. You can have it all ready to go, but do not miss out on the Eruption. Are you coming?
I will be signing up.
That's good. It's close enough. Yeah. It's as good as we could hope for in July.
Yeah.
Excellent. And this is a funny little story that I forgot to tell last week. We love a bit of numerology.
Do we ever?
Mark Hardy's our boy. He's a big Cats fan and numerology fan. And this one I thought was great. I was working at our factory last week. And one of the boys had Triple M going, and I think someone must have put the Bluetooth on instead. Then that guy left, so he's like, oh, Al, can you go just chuck the radio back on? So I go over, and I'm about to push the power button, and I see 105.1. I was like, oh, must just be turned down. So I'm turning it up, and now it's up. I'm so confused. I turn it down. Volume's not changing. I don't understand what's happening. And then I sort of take another, a bit of a closer look. It actually says 10:51 a.m. So I was going to look for Triple M at 10:51 a.m. I just thought that was a nice little... I'm just thinking the Cam Mooney face with the numbers flying everywhere. That's all I could think of straight away.
100%. it's a good one. You shared it with me on the weekend, and I was very impressed, and I'm glad it's made it to the airways because it's a story worth hearing.
Yeah, that's it. Another thing worth hearing is Australia's own Blake Houston is the runner-up in the World Junior Distance Competition. I should have had the exact measurement up in front of me, but I don't. But it was like 180 meters.
Yeah, 189 or something, I think.
Yeah. What the hell?
Yep.
I just remember it being like two really good throws of mine. I was like, what? I watched the video of it. He does his big 360, unleashes this bad boy on this monster Annie, and it stays like reasonably straight. Nuts. So well done there to Blake.
Yeah, that's huge. That's huge.
I think, I can't remember. Was he, didn't go over last year, did he? It was Alex.
Yeah.
And Alex got it. He got the world record in the 15s.
Did he take down doubles?
Yeah, that might've been it. I know he was right up there with a bunch of stuff, Alex, last year. He had, the distance thing, the putting thing and the doubles. He was, real dominant in all three. So, but I feel like he might be the distance world champion for the juniors, Alex.
He might be.
We're going to run with it anyway. So a bit of bragging rights there because Blake only got second. But still, those two boys over in WA, they rip.
Yeah.
Have you seen they've had round one? He's over there for Worlds and round one has kicked off.
I did. I had it loaded up on my computer this morning at work watching scores trickle in.
How did he fare? How was he looking after one round?
Look, he, I'm sure he'd like a little bit of a redo. He finished real strong. So he went four down through the his last five holes, but that's pretty important that he went four down through his last five holes because he finished his round at just -3. So he plus one after 13, is a fair bit off the pace for the rest of the division. But and he found himself pretty low down as I was watching live in the 70s and the 80s and even a little bit deeper at time. But yeah, finishing strong gets him up into a tied for 40th at the moment and a round rating of 956. So nothing to shit on, but we know for sure he's capable of much better than that. And I expect this to be the lowest we'll find him on the scoreboard over the weekend.
Yeah, for sure. Hopefully he can bounce back. Have a look at his scorecard. He's got, 9 birdies. So he's doing plenty. Just got to keep it more clean. I had a look at all the people in his area and similar stuff. So they all have, 7, 8, 9 birdies, but then lots of bogeys. And the only real difference between him and the guys right up the very top is just keeping it clean. So the people way, way up top aren't really getting that many more of the birdies, so it must be a fairly scoreable track, but they're just keeping it clean. So hopefully he can do the same thing and start mixing it up with those big boys.
Yeah, a few tracks are involved, so they're off to a completely different track tomorrow morning. Then they bounce back to where they started, but then they're off to another completely different track for round 4. And then obviously there'll be a cut line before going into semis and stuff.
Yep, sounds good. We'll definitely keep a close eye on that and should have the full results next week's pod, which would be nice.
Correct.
Something we already have all the full results for is the social day last week at Melton.
Oh, Melton. Did they take down my course record?
Not quite.
Okay, good.
Not quite. Maybe if you add the top 2 scores together, then yes, but... not the biggest showing, but still not too bad. 24 people showed out for that day before the big wet. So maybe people just didn't want to take up their whole weekend with disc golf, which I didn't want to. So I think it's understandable. But but yeah, still 24 people showing up, which is not bad. And the best of the bunch is the king of Melton, Penn Lu, with a neg 8. Clean. One of the only, if not the only, clean card for the day. So, well done there, Penn.
Expected that he takes them down. And he doesn't take it down often enough at Melton. So I'm sure he's happy to chalk that one up.
Yeah, for sure. And, Ville in attendance as well. So, Ville with a neg 4 finds himself in pretty unfamiliar territory below both Doug Adams and our man Aaron Picanti with solid neg 6 and neg 5 respectively.
Taking so, scalps.
Taking some big scalps. And other than that, just a bunch of the normal names for Melton right in the mix there. And nothing too special else to talk about, really, I don't think. Is there anything you saw that was noteworthy?
Nothing noteworthy. Pretty standard stuff. I think on one of the pitch and putt holes, someone might have thrown it in one, but it's more of a birdie than an ace, I think.
Yeah, I think Ash Widener takes down the ace on hole 5. Big social day ace. It stands out like a sore thumb when you're looking at it on the page, that big gold one. So... well done there, Ash. And he takes home a whopping $0 because he was not in the ace pot.
What a... Come on. We've covered this.
We've covered it.
I'm
happy with that.
That was his last hole. Started on hole 6. Finished with a birdie and an ace. So a walk-off ace. To finish, so goes 3 under through his last 2 holes to finish the round 3 under.
Nice, that's one way to go out.
Yeah.
Oh, I like that. But yeah, for everyone else, the ace pot is still alive, and it would have been $270, which is pretty quickly filled up. From I feel like Oscar and Aiden just cleared it out a few weeks ago.
Not that long ago at all.
Yeah, it grows pretty fast now, so it'll be nice and juicy again this weekend. We see Brett Bobridge and Chu Tran tied at the top of the handicap board. When do you ever see a tie on the handicap
Yeah,
result?
that was one of the first things I noticed. That feels like that's unheard of.
It's so on it. Look at the very next few names, because they both have handicaps of exactly like 0.5, 14.5 and 13.5.
Yeah.
And then after that, it's 0.33, 0.08, 0.92. Like, no one has a normal handicap.
Yeah.
So, very odd. But, yeah, well done to those two with exceptional rounds. And Matt Mutter, right up there, as well as Doug Adams. So, pretty special rounds from those guys. What about the other end?
Yeah, look, this the other end, obviously you expect to see Ville there. He had a quiet round. But, geez, hasn't Peter Chu fallen? He, not that long ago, he was going to be taking out the league until I gave you the guarantee that Ville was going to take it off him. He's obviously returned from overseas, and he finds himself at the bottom of the handicap leaderboard. Not only does he find himself at the bottom of the handicap leaderboard, he also finds himself in the 10th on the raw score. So that's not the season start he's looking for.
Nah, even round at Melton's not getting it done. And yeah, definitely. Season one might have been that special chance that he had.
Yeah, exactly. But one player managed to go worse, which is pretty hard to fathom. But when you look at the name, it makes a bit more sense. And David Gannon, +8 at Melton.
+8 with a couple birdies. That's getting it done.
What are we doing, Dave? What are we throwing left-handed?
Yeah, it must be.
Yeah.
I think he might be in our Street League matchup this week. So keep it up, Dave. You're doing great.
Yeah, good stuff. Good form.
Good form. All right, so I mentioned that this was the day before the big wet, so we had better take a look at the scores for the big wet. You miraculously made it out. What time did you get home from the airport on Saturday?
So I rolled into my house around sometime between 7 and 8 p.m., so it wasn't too late. The issue was... many issues. Don't get me wrong. I was there spiritually, not physically. But yeah, jet lag got me good, and I did not sleep that evening, and really at all. And yeah, anyway, so I rolled out there. I had to play it because obviously Xavier's the bomb, and I'd signed up, and I wanted to knock jet lag on its head. So I had my reasons to sign up, and I was there in spirit.
Yeah, in spirit.
Yeah. I don't even remember it. Like, I'm so spaced. Oh, it must have. I don't know if I appeared spaced out, but like, I'm looking at the players that were there. I'm like, I didn't even see these people. They're in my division. What is happening? I was must have been such a space cadet.
Fair enough. Well, yeah, let's have a look at your division, because it was massive. So for a 2-round-in-1-day tournament to have 12 MPO show up, I think it was the biggest division of the day. Pretty nuts, and like a strong field too, so really cool to see. And it was not quite a tale of two rounds, but because the top three from round one was the same top three from round two, but I feel like there was some fairly different scores between one round to the other, which kind of lends itself to that course. It's very hard to hit the same round twice at Xavier.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. There's just two, like, it's a wooded course, isn't it? Like, so with Absolute Jail and Treacherous Jail and some OB at play as well. So holes that are birdie and parable the same holes are very bogeyable or double bogeyable. So yeah, you can really have swings on your round. You can walk up to hole 15 and be like, oh sweet, I got a cruisy birdie on this last round. Neck minute, I took a 7 this round.
Yeah.
So
what was the story of MPO for the weekend, or for the day?
Just a ring-a-ding-ding battle. Look, What it will go down to is Daz stepping back up from his MP40 hiatus and getting out of the blocks real early with Leo Dykes, closely followed by Ryan Hart, who had a triple bogey on the easiest hole on the course. Hole three, easiest hole on the course, triple bogeyed at round one, found himself one shot off the pace, but with a bazillion birdies because he also had another bogey in there as well. And that was a five putt, that triple bogey. He went on to have indeed another five putt later that day. When he rolled round to hole 15, he went, 20 meters long. Maybe on video, it looked a bit like maybe only like 18 meters long. So he's got a putt for eagle on hole 15, doesn't take the eagle, doesn't take the birdie, doesn't take the par, doesn't take the bogey. Finds himself taking the double bogey with his second five putt of the weekend. But 10 putts didn't stop him from winning. And he took it down by one shot over DSS himself.
Big.
Yeah.
Very big. Yeah, lots of... It seemed like everyone had had their hand on that horn at some stage in the final round out of those three. So it's going to make some... very good footage coming out of Park Media too. Can't wait to check all that out.
Yeah, for sure. And look, well, I will mention obviously Ryan Deere, Paddy Robertson tied for fourth in the end, but Brian Deere went even, followed by a minus eight. hands down the fire emoji second round of the day. So Ryan Deere deserves a special shout out to go bogey free, negate, epic work.
Yeah, nah, very nice. Big, big round. Get himself up in the fourth spot. I love it.
Would have there been any other bogey free rounds across any division? Surely not.
Oh, you'd be hard pressed to find it, I think.
Just having a quick
I think you'd be very hard.
Quick glance. Yeah. Nah, there isn't any. So yeah, the only bogey free round of the event goes to Ryan Deere. That's pretty sick.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, some good events from a few of the crew, though. So that was nice. Blake Nichols with a nice event. Aiden with one to forget, but reasonable final round. Ruben Berg, not sure what happened there. I thought this course would be him all over. I thought it was a genuine chance to win this, but just nowhere near it both rounds. So very surprising. And you gave us the Throwler's Guarantee that Nathan Parrish would be taking scalps this weekend. And round one, I'll give you a point for every scalp that he took. And after round one, he was ahead of yourself, Aiden, Ruben, and Ryan Deere. So I was nervous here. He's only one behind Timmy B. This could be a bad day for Alan. But thankfully, the boys stood up. Ryan Deere did his thing, got that neg eight. A couple of the others did just enough to sneak by, and the only scalp he took was you. So just the one point. People were trying to tell me that it shouldn't count. That you,
definitely counts.
It counts.
Yeah.
It counts.
Insider trading.
I'm happy.
Insider trading's allowed here. Fucking Nathan Parrish bogeyed. He finished on hole two. Bloody basic hole.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, and bogeys it, right? And I'm just like, you're just killing me, Nate. You're killing me.
You just cost me a point with that one shot.
Yeah.
Well, you get 1 point. So I think, that takes you up to 8 points now, I believe. I finally wrote it down. Does that sound right?
No, I'm up to nine.
Oh, nine, sorry.
Yeah, so I was on eight. Had Ville, got 2 points for Ville, got 6 points for you at Queensland, so that's eight. And then I get that one, so that takes me to nine.
Yeah, cool. That's it, my bad. I forgot I had six, not five. Yeah. Cool, nine. Well, I'm on 11, so we'll have to see how mine shakes out in a bit. But MP40, it was... bit of a close one in the first round. After round one, Cassie and Josh Smith both tied on plus one. And, whoa. Like, have you seen Cassie's round soup?
Yeah. Yeah. Didn't go to script.
That's, I've never seen her swing like that for her. Fairly consistent player, Cassie. So, way out of contention in the second round. And a neg one for Josh Smith gets him quite a comfortable win in the MP40 to finish on even.
I was privy round two to a pretty spectacular lamb shank from Cassie, as labelled by herself in the moment. She took it very well. Not across all the holes. It was either 14 or 15. And as we were following, it must have been 14, I reckon, because it's that one that has the turn. So we were the car behind them, following them up just to make sure they were off the fairway. And she was in the middle of the fairway, A1 drive on 14, middle of the fairway, a fairway up around the corner. Her next shot went 90 degrees and,
oh boy,
and missed. And I'm not even exaggerating. Like, it went 90 degrees, if not like 100 degrees and a little bit backwards.
Oh boy.
And it missed a lot of trees. It just like full, like, she throws her shot, and then, like, this happens sometimes with me. It's not even grip lock. I don't know if you've experienced this putting sometimes, but she did it with, like, a mid-range, and it just kind of ringed around her, like, ring finger and never came out, and it just went wild. It just went sideways.
Oh, wild.
Yeah.
Before we move on, I'm going to shout out an honorary mention, not light. Just because the context is already here. Got to give it straight up to Josh Smith. Where did we run into him? We ran into him at hole 10-ish. Mm-hmm. Nah, we were 14. Sorry. Oh, yeah, we were 15. We're on the tee pad of 15. We'd caught up to him by then. And I was just like, you know, how's it going? And he goes, oh, boy, you know, Cassie and I, we're really going through it this round. I'm having a look. By this stage, Josh is one under and a million pars, one bogey, two birdies, and he finishes on one under. And Cassie was like a million over. I didn't know it at the time because I hadn't looked, but he's just like, oh, we're both having a rough one. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about, mate? We are both not having a rough one. Like, I hate it when people do that. Like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm the shittest. I'm like, you are killing me.
Yeah.
You're killing me.
You're
not the shittest. I am. Like, fuck you.
What's good about this story is that, like, Josh has obviously had a massive hiatus from disc golf, and a lot of that used to be so prevalent, like that type of, like, comment and that type of attitude. But it's quashed now because there's live scoring. So you do get a lot less of that. But Josh is probably still adjusting to the fact that live scoring exists because he's only just come back and he'd be so unfamiliar with his live scoring concept. So he's still running with the I'm so shit comment. But yeah, if he had said it to me, I would have been across it and I would have been like, you're neg one, bro. I'm plus 80.
Like, let's not have this conversation. Oh, boy. All right, my division, only six of us playing, and my guarantee was Benedicto Byrne gets it done. No good. No good. He doesn't like the cold, apparently. I was not aware of that, but I played with him in the second round, and we're like one hole in, and he's like, I want to go home. I was like, oh, this is not a good sign. So if it's cold, don't tip Benny. He's wait for the sun to come back out and happy days. But Chris Scott was on the feature card for round one and solid one bogey, neg five round. Very good. 981 rated. Did enough. Like, he was five strokes ahead of Ben, seven ahead of myself and Jacob. He was never going to get caught, and he played quite a good second round. Plus one, got very lucky, I must say, in, like, got some good breaks, but capitalized on him. Like, he played good disc golf. If he got like a weird tree kick that sent him into a decent spot instead of a terrible one, then he cans a massive putt. And I'm seven strokes off him, but I had a lot of chances to make it spicy and I didn't capitalize on any of them. So, yeah, well done to Chris. Big win, 3 strokes over Benedict, but it honestly didn't feel that close at all. It seemed like no one was catching him at all from hole one of round two. So, big get there.
Yeah, we've spoken about on the pod before. Obviously, in MA2, he was the bridesmaid. But since moving up to MA1, he is definitely chalking up some W's.
Yeah, we suck in MA1. So, if you come up to us, you'll easily get W's. No dramas.
Yeah. Anyone else kicking back still in MA2, join their ranks.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, my dollars guarantee was no good. So, I stay on 11. So, that's only two points between us now. So, getting spicy here. I like it.
All right. So do I.
More importantly, I beat Jacob. So, I keep my polecat alive. And are you looking at the live scores? Have you got the hole scores up?
I do.
So, I'll turn your attention to
7, 8,
round
9.
One. Jacob
round
and
one.
I are both tied.
Yep.
Now we're both tied on +2. So polecat, anyone's game.
Correct.
We start on hole 5. Jacob takes a birdie. I get a par. Instantly, he's got one hand on the polecat.
Yeah.
Hole 6, we're both not quite good enough. Pars. And then hole 7, Jacob takes a double bogey 6. I get a birdie. Next hole, Jacob bogey. Next hole, Jacob double bogey. And I'm like, let's go. Polecat's coming home with me, boys.
Yeah.
And that's when he activated YOLO mode. And you'll notice that he went birdie, bunch of pars, birdie. YOLO Jacob's actually pretty good at this golf. And once he stops giving a shit about his putt and just like throws it in, then he goes in. But the damage was done. So eat a dick.
Bad luck, Jacob.
And I have to give a little shout out to myself. I did mention the birdie on hole 7. And if you have a look at round 1, I think you'll find another birdie on hole 7.
Nice work. It's a
yeah,
100,
I am
it's a one,
the best.
100 meter par 4.
Yeah, did you birdie it?
I did. Not both rounds.
Oh, shit.
Not both rounds.
Okay. I'm looking at the NPO field. There's double bogeys, bogeys. Aplenty. So I'm taking big
if you scroll to the bottom of that field, round 2, you'll find a juicy little birdie on hole 7, and it stands out because it's about the only birdie of the round.
In the MA40, another battle there. So Lee Thompson, who has been on fire this year, had to DNF. Not sure exactly what happened with that, but he didn't make it all the way through round 1, unfortunately.
Elbow injury.
And, there you go. And real close from there. So only a few strokes separate Taron Anderson with the win and their third place with only 2 strokes back. So Hussey there in second, one back, and then Snapper Scott and Al Don only 2 back. So just an absolute ring-a-ding-ding. I was definitely keeping a hot eye on that, but too many birdies for Taron. He had the most on the day and gets a W.
Yep, gets it done.
FA40. It was a battle between Janet and Michelle Schultz came over from Gambia, but Janet says go home. This one's mine. So well done, Janet.
Yeah, Michelle.
What about the MA50?
Not an event for Michelle. She played well below her rating. Janet managed to edge just above it, which was enough to get done. MA50. Now, tell us about this. This is a huge event by none other than the Better Brunstein. A 904 event.
Yeah, he killed it.
That's outrageous.
Like I was saying, I thought this would be a Ruben course. This is definitely a Jeff course.
Yeah.
Don't really need much distance. You just need to be able to throw a P-Waka Waka straight. And that man can do that. So, +4 first round. Started hot too. Like I had a very slow start. And I think Jeff started on hole 2. So he was 3 down through 6.
Wowee.
Or three down through five, I think. Yeah. And I was like, oh boy, I'm in some strife here. But when he hit the woods, it got a little bit more spicy. But yeah, not many birdies out there in the MA 50 field. So getting those three was plenty enough to give him a one-stroke lead over Carey. And they were dominating the rest of the field. And it came down to the final hole. I'm trying to remember. I believe it was hole seven. Yeah. I think they started on hole eight. And it was Carey one stroke ahead of Jeff. And we got to hole seven. Jeff took a par in the first round. Lo and behold, gets the par in the second. And Carey takes the double bogey. So not only doesn't make the playoff, loses the whole match on that one hole. So the Brunstons just dominating hole seven on the weekend.
That's huge. I'll tell you what, another hole he dominated. Jeff dominated hole 15. Jeff, on hole 15 alone for the day, took four strokes on me.
There you go.
He goes birdie bogey to finish hole 15 even for the day. I could not manage better than a double bogey both rounds.
Nice. He also birdied hole five both rounds. So nice going there, Jeffrey, for the win.
I love that because I actually throw a pee waka waka on hole five. So I love that.
I did not know you owned a mid-range. But learn something new every day.
There you go.
MA2, the aforementioned MA2 field. What do you see in that one?
A canter. I'm seeing a canter.
Yeah.
We expect more of these canters, to be honest, from Penn. We have seen his best golf, and it is 950 golf, and he played 950 golf on the weekend and took away the hyphenated last name by a bunch, and Sam Jackson by a bunch, left Cunty in his wake. The TD miles off the pace. He's smashed it. It's a canter. Penn Lu, back to back, takes out Melton Social Day and then just backs it up with a 950 event. Big boy.
Yeah, very good. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 birdies on round one. So birdied half the course on round one, but plenty of the grey numbers as well sort of brought him down to reality. But still, yeah, amazing event. 8 strokes clear, Andrew Young, Jack Away. Bang. And I wanted more out of Sam Stoyer. He's just saving it for Street League, I think. So, a bit disappointed there. And Kalen. So, I played with Kalen round one. And he was better in the woods. He was throwing straighter in the woods, it seemed. And then when he got in the open, he was spraying. I'm not sure what happened there. And then round two, just a plus 11. I don't know what he's done there. So he'll have to get back to Xavier and redeem himself on that one because he's definitely better than that. But yeah, well done, Big Penn. And he is Penn signed up for the social day this weekend at 10:30. So he's clearly mercenary for someone. Not sure who, probably against us because Big Aiden's out, but we shall see. Same as Oscar. Oscar signed up for 10:30 all of a sudden, and that looms ominous, but I imagine the Brennan's disc golf team might enlist him. He might get snagged up because of Jacob. So hopefully we don't have to worry about him, but I think Penn could be a danger.
Okay.
In the FA2, another smashing, Kim Mitchell over Jess Holman, not even close, struggle round for Jess Holman, well below her best, but yeah, a decent round, well, quite a good event for Kim, and, Melton is starting to rack up some points here.
Yeah, Melton, as we know, is the heartthrob, the beating heart of Melbourne disc golf, and it is where all the talent is born and bred. And it's no real surprise that they are just taking a clean sweep here by the looks of things with a couple of divisions to play.
Yeah, they are dominating these lower divisions for sure. I just sneaked that in there, didn't I, Ben? speaking of which, another Melton boy, Chu Tran, first place, 5 strokes clear of Matt Hunter in MA3. Another shellacking. I don't think I've ever seen Chu before. Saw him getting his trophy. Kid's an athlete. You seen this guy?
Yeah, I'm familiar with Chu.
Oh, I'm unfamiliar. He's a triangle with legs. He's got some big shoulders and some strong lats. That all goes down to, he's an athlete. Didn't see that coming. There's not many athletes in disc golf. It's like, it takes you by surprise.
Yeah.
So he'll probably quickly be the best player in Australia in no time.
And he's got a sick attitude. Chu's a legend. I mean, everyone out of Melton's a legend. Chu's a legend, though. He's got a cool attitude. He's pretty cash. And, I'm stoked for him. That's a good win. And I imagine they probably carpooled together, him and Penn. So would have been the sink in the winner's piss the whole way home.
Very nice. And MA4. Matthew Harris, I am unfamiliar with him. Is he another Melton boy?
Let's claim him. No, he's not. I don't think he is anyway.
He's not? Okay.
Not familiar, to be honest.
Fair enough. Well, he's probably a Ballarat local then. And, done it 5 strokes clear as well. There are a lot of big victories here at the Big Wet over David Wood and Georgia Carroll. So, I'd love to see... It wasn't the strongest female-led event, but Georgia's in the MA4s, and Huss is in the MA40s, and Cassie in the MP40s. So they're all just slotting into places they think they can compete as well, and they've all done quite well with Georgia there in third place, well ahead of Reese. And I like that one because Reese was giving Georgia shit about one of the forehand holes, saying it was baby's first forehand or something. So she was pretty excited to get a victory over Reese Circuit for sure.
Beautiful.
All right, we'll have to have a little bit of a chat about the event overall. How do you think the course went? Do you remember any of it?
Nah, so I'm hazy as, but I think it rated easier than I anticipated it rating.
Really?
Yeah, I feel like we'd put in some like loose predictions about how it might rate. And I can't remember what they were, but what did -8 net? 970. Probably I was going to say, I feel like I thought -4 would be 970, and that checks out. So no, it rated as I expected, which is to be expected.
Yeah, well, I know when I did the, when I played it and was talking about it, I thought it would be a little easier than Ballarat Vic Park Blues. And even has come in at about 936 here. And Ballarat Blues at the Golden City Classic this year even came in at 937. So basically the same. I don't think that will stand. I think this course will get, like, people will get more used to it. And I think that rating will come down as scores come down.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah, potentially. It's Yeah, potentially. I know when it got rated on metrics, it came out higher. They're obviously completely different systems, but a -5 came out at 1,000 when they rated it on metrics via a league day. But no, I think you're right.
That's too much.
Yeah, people will suss it out, and they'll also find ways to stem the bleeding as well with a lot of those double bogeys and triple bogeys. And, you know, with tee pads being further established and the rough becoming less rough, and as the course beats in, yeah, it should indeed become a bit easier, like what we've seen with Invalid, really.
Yeah, I think maybe this time next year, the ratings might come closer to 925 than 935.
Yeah.
Would be my estimate, if not rounding into you know, 920 maybe by the year after, something like that. Not that it's not difficult, but it's I don't know. I think it's fair. I think it's a fair course. So I think I should definitely be shooting under par, but not a lot under par, and I could definitely shoot over par. So I think that's where that rating comes in. But yeah, it was long. It was definitely long, but I don't think we had too many backups. But it was a big day. Did you really have much of a feeling of that, or were you just zombieing through it?
Nah, zombie, man. Absolute zombie. I'm so glad that like Hardy drove me there and drove me home. Don't know.
Nah, fair
don't
enough.
Know.
Nah, or I, like I said, I think the course is really cool. I'm really excited for it. And I think as they start really locking in some of these holes, they'll start putting some more of the tee pads in. I think there's a bunch of them they can just lock in right away. There's so many great holes there. Most of that stuff through the woods is really good. I really like the change they made on hole 10. That par 4 was silly. I feel like if they got rid of maybe one of the last guardian trees on hole 10, then it would make this one even better, because if you hit that initial first gap, you still kind of are gambling with that last little section. So maybe there's something to be done there, or potentially even just bring the basket a little closer to get, if they can't chop down. I know there's some trees they're not allowed to chop down there, but now a lot of it's really good. And I'm really excited. So can't wait to get out and play it again.
Me too.
Marlon was the TD for this one, not Reese, but he TDs just like Reese does. It was short, sharp, precise. I love it.
Yeah.
I thought everything was great.
If you're going to learn to TD off someone, you may as well learn to TD off the TD of the year. Well played by Marlon. Some real high quality TD-manship.
Demonship, yeah, excellent. And fuck, man, I want a horn. I want a horn so bad. Like, I really want to win this stupid thing. I want that mead. Taryn sent me a video of him pouring his mead into his horn after the round. He has a good once he got home, has a good sip, thinks about it for a second, stares right at the camera and goes, "That's shit." I don't think it must not be Taryn's thing, but I want it so bad, and I refuse to buy it. Like, I refuse to buy it because I want to win it.
Yeah, do it.
But maybe next year. I'll have two more cracks at it next year.
Yep.
All right, before we move on to our Throwers Guarantee picks for next week, which is probably your chance to have a look at something to Throwers Guarantee. I want to give a bit of a shout out to Narada, as well as the Man Cave. So Jeff put out an email, I think, if not a Facebook post, about how the Melbourne Celebrates now has these amazing player packs, and it's all courtesy of the Man Cave, and Stuff is the name of the brand. Stuff is a skincare company. So Narada works for the Man Cave, and if people are unfamiliar with that, I've got their page up now. Their vision is a world in which every man has a healthy relationship, contributes to his community, and reaches his full potential. And their mission is empowering boys to become great men by providing them and their communities with impactful programs, role models, and resources. So it's an amazing program. And they are partnered with Stuff. I believe that some of the proceeds from the sales of Stuff go to the Man Cave. So super excited to get my hands on some in the players pack. I'm getting a little older and I need to keep the skin moist, because my wife is looking fantastic and I can't be an old man next to her. So keen to get my hands on that. And Father's Day is coming up. So if you're unsure of what to get your father, then jump on the Stuff website and grab some great stuff for him. And also check out the Man Cave website and chuck him a donation if you can.
Yeah, cool. That's huge. Thanks, Man Cave. Awesome.
All right. So I've got the narrow 2 point lead in the Throwler's Guarantee. There's not. Oh, there's plenty going on this weekend. We've got European Open. We've got the rest of the world. And we've got Street League and a social day at Ruffey Lake coming up. So does any of that tickle your fancy? What's your Throwler's Guarantee?
Yeah, I've been looking, I've been scoping. I am looking at Ruffy. And that's where I'm going to stay looking. I'm not going to do a late segue yet into the European Open. I am going to stay looking at Ruffy. And I've got a couple of things circulating around in my head. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to do this. Keen to am I, is it my turn to go first? Sure.
I don't have anything, so yes.
Okay, good. All right.
I'm still looking.
I am curious to know how many guarantee points will you give me for an ace to be hit at Ruffy this weekend?
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. Oh boy, that's a tough one. I don't know how many are you after?
So I feel like,
How unlikely do you think it
I
is?
think it's quite unlikely. Like, I'm sure if we went through the history of league
The
days at.
very last time, yeah, the very last time we had Ruffy, two people aced.
Yes, so that I feel like, as we know with roulette, that means it's even less likely now.
Nah, that's not how it works.
I feel like it's at least a seven.
Yeah, that's fine. I'll give you a seven. I
No.
probably would have given you an eight if you had have said it, but we'll stick with seven.
Okay. All right. I'll take a seven. I did say at least. You must have missed
Yeah. What?
that
That's what I gave you. At
bit.
least a seven. Yeah, now someone aces. Anyone
Anyone
aces.
aces, give me 7 points. And I'm looking at that juicy duvet, and there's an ace amongst there's an ace in there.
All right. I'm having a look at the social day as well. I like it when we can talk about our people. And I think this is a bit of a two-parter. I can get some good points here and also put off a Street League competitor. I think that Jacob Cruden will beat Tim Ware at the social day. He will have a better score than Tim Ware.
Ooh. I like it. I like it. All right. So you got Jacob Cruden at 927. You got Tim Ware at 920. The last time Tim played Ruffy, he scored a 59, which was pretty. Who? Have I done that wrong? What? He mustn't have got a 59 because that's impossible.
Nah, he's very good.
Number, oh, that's number of players. No, he shot a 48. He shot a 48 the last time he played Ruffy, which was very solid. I'd actually got him a T3. I mean, you're saying Jacob Cruden is going to
He's
do.
trash.
He is trash. He is trash, but he obviously lives at Ruffy. Look, I'm going to give you a four for that.
Oh, you think he's more likely to beat Tim than
He's
not?
the better player. In every measure, he's the better player.
All right. No worries.
They're
All
close. They're close,
right.
but they're not close enough for a five. Like,
Yeah, all right.
that's a four.
No worries. I thought I was trying to sink one past there, but
Nah.
apparently not.
Nah.
All right, I've got Jacob over Timmy Ware, and you've got someone acing, so
Someone
that's all
ace.
right. That'll get me up to 15, and you'll get nothing. So
Yeah, probably.
that'd be good.
Yeah.
All right, we'll have a quick look at the Crokhole Open before we wrap her up. Did you watch any of this? Because I didn't.
I tried. Do you know what? I actually watched a bit of the FPO. I actually watched the entirety of round one FPO on the plane over. I had this awesome situation where when I landed in Doha, because round one drops on YouTube, I could download it because I've got the YouTube account. And then on my 14-hour flight, I could just watch the live coverage of the FPO. Obviously delayed, but that's what I did. But that's about all I've seen.
Yeah, I've only seen FPO as well. With the time difference, it was really good timing here. So I happened to watch a little bit of it live a couple of days, but no, I didn't really see much, except for the course is just beautiful,
gorgeous.
Like, what a place to be.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm trying to get the things up now. I've had to go back through like 1,000 pages. But it was in the FBO. We'll start with it because that's what we watched. It was a close battle for most of it between Silva and Tatar. But in the final round, Tatar just put the boot down. She's like, "I'm back." It was cute that you guys had your little wins, but now I'm back.
Yeah.
Neg six final round. To win by six strokes. She's just a weapon. And I know that we listened to a lot of Tour Life and Brody Smith. I think he's the only one to talk about. Like, no one is downplaying these other wins by these other people, I don't think. But every time one of them wins, Brody's like, I know people are saying that it doesn't count because Christian's not there. And I was really hoping that Silva was just going to smack her up and be like, they fucking count, my boy. But
nope.
not the case. Yeah, she beats Silva by 6 and beats third place by 11.
Yeah.
Like, shit. So, yeah, if Kristen wasn't there, it just would have been another rout by Silva. But, yeah, Kristen's so good. So, very interesting to see her probably just absolutely dominate in the European Open next week.
Looks likely. Before we move away from FPO, there was a cheeky little DNF in there.
Yes. Yeah, I did. You brought that to my attention. Who got a DNF?
None other than Miss Sarah Lee.
Did you have any idea that she was over there?
Nah, no idea. No idea at all.
Nah, me either. And I'm having a look at it. She signed up for both the European Open and Worlds.
This is big. What massive warm-up events for the WIFDIF comp back in Perth.
Yeah, definitely. So, super keen for that. I think she was very sick, I think, was the reason for the DNF.
Yeah.
So, terrible timing, but, yeah, hopefully bounces back. It's cool as shit to watch her play the European Open. She's basically me. So I'll get to watch me play the European Open. That'd be awesome.
So good.
I want to see how good I would be or bad.
Yeah.
So yeah, kick ass, Sarah. Can't wait.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to mention Rachel Turton, your English pal.
Yeah.
She, tie six. Nice event for her.
Yeah, she's doing really well. Another good showing, no doubt.
And then the MPO, Ricky gets himself a second win for the year. Storms past the field. Him and Jakob Semerad both had super hot final rounds to jump up and, take it out. He takes it up by 5 strokes, actually. I think he might have led from start to finish. I don't know why I said stormed home.
Yeah. Yeah. But, yeah, he had a pretty good time there. He settled in early with a couple of practice rounds and, really made himself at home on that beautiful course.
So, good to see. I'm seeing Anthony Barella there in 7th place. And where have we seen Anthony Barella lately? Not quite catching what I'm putting up.
Nope.
I've seen a photo with Anthony Barella and none other than Pat Oudry.
Oh, yes.
So great friend of ours, Pat Oatree, been gone for what feels like an eternity now, but it's only like a year and a half, I think, over to the UK, and he's like, huh, Norway's not very far from me. Might just pop over and check out the Crocodile Open. So he got there for round two and three, and yeah, hang out with AB, and apparently spent a fair bit of time with Matty O. So Matty O is a man of the people and just chilled out in the crowd. And yeah, Pat was just hanging with Matty O, talking shit. So so pretty awesome. That was really, really cool to see.
Hasn't thrown a frisbee in 2 years and just on a whim goes and watches the Crocodile Open. Good work. That's very Pat Oatree behavior.
It's super bad. And they bought like 10 discs.
Yeah.
If we scroll down to the bottom, we see another Australian DNF.
Unheard of.
So Bainey had a DNF as well. Like, what is going on? We're the two Australians there. They're both DNF.
Yeah.
So not sure what happened with Bainey. Didn't see that one, but yeah, hopefully he's doing all right.
Yep. And hopefully both the Aussies have a better showing at the European Open, of course.
Mm, indeed. All right. So we finish with some spotlight, not light.
Yep. I've got some.
Yeah, go for it. What do you got?
I'll start off with my spotlight. It'll be my honourable mention now, because you ran with it off the bat. But Doug.
Oh, my bad.
Doug Adams. Was, yeah, up doing a bit of an all-nighter with Theo, who is also struggling quite greatly from jet lag, and getting to watch his little warm-up round for Melbourne Celebrates was greatly appreciated. So Doug Adams can have my honourable mention. But my actual spotlight, in a weird way, kind of goes to metrics. Mark Hardy has had now, I think, three rounds that are over 1,000 rated on metrics. However, if you were to go and have a little look for any of them, you will not find them. in every case, there has just been a bit of a sideways action where that has not counted. So it's either been one of the first times the course has ever been used, and so therefore metrics doesn't let it count as a rating, or in his latest case, it was at Mount Saviour. He shot a 5-under, which rated in at -5, but they stuffed up one of the pars on one of the holes, and because of that, the rating's no longer visible. And so I'm just stoked that these rounds effectively didn't happen. There is no evidence that Hardy shot over 1,000 rated three times. So bad luck, Mark Hardy. Well done, metrics.
That's so spiteful. I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of good stuff happened. We talked about a lot of it, though. Ash is ace. Jeff gets a W. I don't know. Other cool stuff we've seen. But by far the best thing that happened in disc golf this weekend was done by me. And no, it's not the two birdies on hole 7. But I think I've discovered something here. So I was carrying around an umbrella and didn't really know where to put it before. I've sort of stuffed it into the back of my Zooka cart, but it's torn up the umbrella, and I didn't really want to do that. And at some stage during round one, I just sort of had a revelation that the umbrellas have the little straps to tie them together, right? To hold them tight.
Correct.
When they're closed. Well, you just undo that little strap and strap it around the pole on your Zooka cart. Bang. Done. Umbrella held.
That's
perfect.
That's big. That's big.
It's, I think it's the best thing I've ever done in disc golf. Like, I'm not going to lie. I was so impressed with my own work. I was showing everyone. I'm not going to make an umbrella holder. I'm definitely not buying one. And if you've got a Zooka cart, you don't need to now either, because I have just changed the whole game for you.
Wow. Jeez. You are a man of the people.
For that reason, I get my own spotlight. And all six other people that have Zooka carts can follow my lead.
Awesome. They will be greatly, I'm sure they'll show you all the gratitude. Outside of that, of course, you could obviously purchase a Berg bag, which has the sleeve for the umbrella that runs from top to bottom, which is also pretty elite.
Yeah.
All right. My not light. Look, as you've mentioned, and as you saw, and as I'm still feeling now, I'm a zombie. Jet lag gets me. I'm sure jet lag gets everyone, but like I even remember when just coming back from the UK, I was donezo for like a period of time, and I'm still currently donezo. And then because I was sat down for 20 hours, my back seized up, and my round two was friggin' rough. So I really kind of want to not light myself, but I don't have to because I beat Mark Hardy and I beat Jacob. So my freaking not lights go to Hardy and Jacob. I was a shadow of a man, and I can't even remember how badly I played, but it was not as bad as you. You two suck. You get my not lights this week.
I love that. That's excellent. I know Jacob was like devastated. He just thought he was playing the shittest anyone could play. I especially after that stretch where he just had given up, and then he looked at it at the end, he's like, well, at least I beat Chris, and he's like, oh, no, I didn't. That's it. I actually want to not like myself as well, but I'm not going to, so it's pretty coincidental here. I finished both my rounds bogey.
Oh,
it's so annoying, and different holes, and just different reasons. Like, it wasn't, yeah, I don't know. Like, one of them, I just stuffed an upshot and then tried to, like, it was the end, so I didn't really care. So I tried to throw it in and then hit the cage and rolled. Anyway, whole thing. And then a skill error. But both rounds finished bogey. If I just go par, all of a sudden I've got a one under event. Not so bad, but anyway, it's not my not light. I'm looking further down the list in MA1, and I'm looking squarely at Don Carter. We've given him a lot of props lately because it seems like he's turned the corner, and all of a sudden, he's a 950 killer, and we're going into his backyard, and he shits the bed. So, +3 first round, which wasn't great, but, you know, we can bounce back from that. +12 second round. The stretch from 8 through 12 goes double bogey, quad bogey, double bogey, double bogey, bogey.
He started that rough round on hole 8.
There you go.
That's
how you start your round.
It was
two.
+11 through 5 or something crazy like that.
Crazy.
Yeah.
So he's got to get my not light. We give him the praise when he does well, and this is the complete opposite of that. So got to give the rev up. That's not good enough, mate. 868 round. 868 event. I can't speak.
Yeah.
Not good enough. He's well over a 900 rated player. Get your shit together, kid.
Agreed.
Whew, cool. All right. Well, bit of a big one. Thanks for sticking with us. Very keen for Street League this weekend. So bring that on and play shit, Timmy Ware. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Peace out.